Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
Menards. Games are so much more than, well, games. They're complex, engaging, exciting artifacts that play a significant role in society, education, and beyond. That's why we founded Board Game Academics earlier this year. As a group of tabletop gamers and academic professionals, our mission is to combine research and gaming in novel ways that benefit academia and the tabletop industry. We're doing this by focusing on the historical, cultural, and systemic exploration of games as they relate to complex themes like race, gender, nationality, ability, sexuality, and class. To present and celebrate the work of the researchers who have submitted their papers to Board Game Academics, we are holding an inaugural conference on August 2nd. If you're attending Gen Con Trade Day, join us at 2 p.m. on August 2nd. If you're not, registration is now open for the virtual conference taking place on the same day. Register today and discover the exciting, creative, and thoughtful approaches to gaming that are encouraging meaningful discourse between researchers, teachers, and gamers. Use the discount code PODCAST on our website, boardgameacademics.com, when registering to receive the student rate. Again, that discount code is PODCAST. www.boardgameacademics.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome to Board Gamers Anonymous, the podcast about board gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
And this is episode 430, Origins Game Fair Hotness. We'd like to thank all our Patreon backers, but especially Adam and Ryan, who both upgraded to producers. Thank you so much, my friends. You rock. All right, everyone. We are back and we are stoked. We are pumped. It was Origins. And we did not go.
Yeah, I know. And everybody's looking at the title and like, didn't you guys not go to this show? Like, no, we did not go to this show, but we're going to tell you all about it. And the fact that we can do that might tell you a little bit about this show. So
there you go. So that will be our feature review. We'll be talking about the Origins Game Fair Awards. Always interesting. Always fun. We did a preview of that a couple episodes back. We'll be talking about all the games that came out. More or less, what they did, what they didn't do, where we've seen them before, if there was anything new, and some of the ongoing controversies and fun times that a lot of people had at Origins Game Fair. So stick around for our feature review. We'll be talking about all the fun things that are Origins, and I guess especially so you know what games you should be looking at, because they're going to be hitting all the shops and all the online stuff pretty soon. All right, Anthony, so that's what's going to be coming up on our big feature, but there's a lot of stuff that's going on with us. There's not just Origins this summer. There's another convention that people might have heard of.
Yeah, the big one.
There's We're going a big to the... one?
Yeah, there's a bigger one.
Get out of here.
It's way bigger.
Bigger than 5 days of the best fun in board games?
It's like 2.5 times bigger. It's so big. The only thing that's not bigger is the food selection. It's way smaller. But the rest is much bigger.
Is the temperature bigger?
It's so much bigger.
Wait a minute. But do you get to play board games in a football stadium? Because that's my threshold here.
Well, yes, in fact, you do. So that's why it's so much bigger. You know, Gen Con is coming up, apropos of nothing. And we're going to be there.
to be fair, it's apropos of less than 2 months.
That's true. Yeah. Gen Con's coming up. It's in 5 weeks, which is crazy because we have so much planning to do still. We're going to be there for many, many reasons. But the biggest reason we're going to be there is Board Game Academics, which we've been talking about all year. We announced this back on episode 408, and we've been talking about it since January because this is our big, big endeavor. We've been working on this now for almost 2 years, and we have a collection of 12 different academics who have submitted papers and proposals, and they're going to be presenting those on August 2nd, including at the trade day at Gen Con on August 2nd. Could not be more excited. It's so cool. You can go to the website now, boardgameacademics.com. You can see everybody who is presenting. You can see the topics they are presenting, and you can hear all about what's coming up at Gen Con, as well as our virtual presentation. We have several people who are joining us at Gen Con, but we also have several people who couldn't make it, and we are presenting virtually. So we're going to have at Gen Con for about 2 hours presentations in person that we will be trying to stream live online. And then again, continuing online for another couple hours after that, additional people presenting their amazing research as well. So if you are at all interested in this, if you're coming to Gen Con and you have a trade day pass or an exhibitor pass or a media pass, please join us. It's amazing. The link is on the website. If you are not able to come to Gen Con or don't have access to trade day, you can still join us. Just hit up boardgameacademics.com and you can sign up for a virtual pass access, and you'll get access to all 12 of those presentations. So super exciting.
Excellent. Yeah. And there'll be a lot of activities in between on the Discord that Jen will be handling along with Ruby. So that should be a lot of fun. And again, if you can't Gen Con, you don't have to Gen Can't. You can come to the online convention and get a lot of the BGA fun right there, live stream to you, and then have a really good crew of people just to talk to and have fun with. And again, to cheer on all those great academics and researchers out there who are presenting wonderful material on gaming. So you think you know gaming, but we got 12 amazing people that are going to give you brand new perspectives about gaming. And again, as we always try to do each and every week, help get more people to the table. So maybe your normal pitch to get people to the table, not doing the best. Well, you're going to have 12 new pitches from 12 high-level thinkers about why people should be gaming. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, you can go beyond it's fun and say, hey, this is an academically rigorous discussion of the 14th century. I don't know, something like that. But we have a lot of really interesting stuff. We have people talking about games in the classroom. We have people talking about games as an industry. We have people talking about games and their historical representation, social, gender related, all these different focuses and ideas around what games are doing as representations of society. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's so much, even down to miniatures. We have someone talking about miniatures.
Yes.
And their place and what they mean and all that really cool stuff. So a lot of fun stuff. And you get an opportunity to bring everyone around the computer, around your phone, to hear all great stuff about it. But we'll talk more about it as time goes. But as Anthony mentioned, Board Game Academics, go check out the newly renovated and super fantastical website with all these presentations and these people, so you get to know them because they're now part of our larger crew.
Yep.
All right, so that's what's happening with us, Anthony. One of the other things for our Patreon backers, I do this each and every week or every other week when you're not doing something, I'm doing something. So coming up on Tuesday, I'll be kicking the habit again. So this is the opportunity for me to dive deep into all of the crowdfunding websites out there. BackerKit, GameFound, Kickstarter. I don't know if Indiegogo is still a thing anymore. And no. Then whatever lemonade stand is out there where someone's trying to pawn a game off on me. I will check all of those out. I will talk about the best 12 that are happening out there and let you know what I all think out there. And hopefully, maybe, possibly, not back them all, because that happens sometimes. So join me as I try to resist the thing that I cannot resist, as evident by my massive board game collection currently, I don't know, just it's coming in on all sides. Let me just say that we've gone past the Kalax. That's all I'm saying. It's just it's everywhere. So yeah, we'll be talking about that on that upcoming episode. So Anthony, obviously there's a lot to talk about with Origins. So let's get there as quickly as possible. But before we do, let's talk about our acquisition disorders.
All right. So my acquisition disorder this week is one that just popped into the hotness this last week, partially driven by Tom Vassell's review. So we have to give credit where due. The Dice Tower has a review up. You can go check it out, of World Wonders.
I met him.
I did too. It's crazy.
He's very tall.
He's so tall. Looks right over the top of you.
I know. So
this is a new game from designer Z Mendes, who, if you don't recognize the name, he designed Brazil Imperial, which we've talked about a billion times in the last 2 years. One of our most anticipated games of the last 2 years. It came out in Brazil, I don't know, 2019, 2020, and it took a really long time to get here via Europe and then maybe across connection through Canada. This game is coming out much sooner because they now have the relationship set up where they can sell it. It is a game about building your own ancient city. So we're talking about kind of the process of building up the city and then building the wonders that represent the city. And, you know, if you know anything about Brazil Imperial, it's a 4X game, but it's also just kind of like building up your resources and building up your center and building up upon your leader. And this game is adjacent to that, but also has some shared DNA, right? So there's multiple types of buildings that you're building, similar to Brazil. And you're kind of working within an economy and building towards monuments and wonders. So it's, I'm sure it's not at all like this, but it kind of gives me the vibe of like Seven Wonders as a tile laying game, right? And that sounds interesting by itself. And I wasn't the biggest fan in the world of Brazil Imperial. I really, really, really wanted to like it. In the end, it was a very soft play borderline dodge for me.
Ooh.
Didn't love it. Probably going to pass on my copy, but it does a lot of interesting ideas, right? The things it borrows from Scythe, I think it borrows effectively. I just found the game to be a little drawn out and a little less interactive than it wants to be. It should be more interactive for a 4X, right? This one, however, based on what I've played in Brazil and based on what I'm seeing here, looks like a really interesting way to kind of navigate the path, right? So you have kind of like polyomino pieces, you have buildings that are three-dimensional, you have wonders that you're building out. Like, the table presence looks fantastic. So I'm excited about it. I have not watched Tom's review, by the way, so if he says it's terrible, maybe ignore what I'm saying. I don't know. I just know it popped up, and I looked at the preview from the publisher, as we do for this segment, and I'm excited about it. So they're saying in the U.S. it's going to be available at Gen Con, which I thought was relevant because we're going to be there. We're just talking about that. And I will be keeping an eye on it. I think it's coming from Arcane Wonders. I see in there. Yes, Arcane Wonders. Robert's saying they will have it. They're not sure how many copies just yet. But we will be stopping by their booth, and I will be checking this one out.
Yeah,
That is World Wonders.
Fantastic. And again, I mean, it's great to see that they'll have it at Gen Con. So we'll have an opportunity. Is it actually playable? Is it going to have a playable, purchasable?
It'll be purchasable. They just don't know how many copies they're going to have.
Okay. That's Arcane Wonders is kind of like that.
Yes. They might have five. They might have 500. We don't know.
Aw. But Robert's a good guy. If you ever get to the convention and you get to Arcane Wonders and you don't find or you're unsure about the games, go talk to him. He's great. Don't just walk away. He will figure out, work something out. Because he's good like that. So, I have similar, not as severe, but I have similar feelings with Brazil Imperial. So, and again, broken heart of all over the place. Just like, I was like, better, please be better. So at some point, as I did have a long standing run of, passion and expectation for this, I mean, for Brazil Imperial, I'm now going to start a campaign to get an expansion just to get things going on the side. This looks good. Although it's polyomino, so you're trying to trick me.
And it is.
Yeah, nice try, buddy.
I had to mention it because I want to be accurate, but also I hit it. I buried it at the end.
Yeah. Good try, buddy. Nice try. Anthony will be backing this. Although, again, and to be fair, I see it in your background. Rebuilding Seattle. Not too much of a spoiler alert here, but like one of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah.
And it has polyomino. So I am not anti polyomino's.
Honestly, I think it's still my number one of the year. This is still my game of the year if the year ended right now.
Very good. Awesome. All right. Well, on Kickstarter, again, always about the Kickstarter stuff. I'm excited and surprised because this game just came out kicked off recently. Mystery of the Abbey. Now, Mystery of the Abbey, when I and you, Anthony, had played this way back, it was a Days of Wonder game. And we were very just taken by the game. The production's very good. The production and deduction were both very good. And again, it was a game, you know, from the early, early days of Days of Wonder. So to have a game like that come back out again. Now, this is not being produced by Days of Wonder, but this is famously a Bruno Fedutti game. So love the general kind of concept of being, I guess, a monk trying to investigate and figure out the mystery of the Abbey because there's been a grisly murder. Again, kids board games, folks, right? Grisly murders.
Yeah, buddy.
And in this family game, you have to figure out which of these holy people have killed somebody. So there you go. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it there and let's just move on. So in Mystery of the Abbey, again, classic deduction game. And again, you could probably look up Days of Wonder for like the full kind of presentation. And there's endless numbers of reviews. Anthony, you and I both like the game from what I remember back in the day.
Yep. Yeah, I had fun with it. I think it was like a very clever but very base level deduction game without adding too many crazy layers on top of it. I think that's, we don't have enough of that. We have very simple deduction games and we have very complex ones. Yes. We don't really have a good baseline in the middle at the Euro level.
Yeah.
That really makes it work. Shadows of Camelot's another one, but also out of print. So,
and also like Days of Wonder. Yeah.
I know. Like Days of Wonder had it cornered. Those are two great games.
Yeah.
This was one and it's been unavailable forever.
And now every deduction game has like an app that has like 12 different things you have to jump through and whatever else. And I'm just like, all right. But this came back out and it's got new artwork, which is not bad. It's not bad. It's different.
It's very flat. It's very flat.
It's very stylized in that kind of.
Yeah.
But it has its own style. It's not bad artwork, right?
No. It's not
Colosseum.
Like, yeah, exactly. Literally what I was about to say. It's not Tasty Minstrel Colosseum bad.
Oh, that was bad. So again, you are trying to figure out which of the suspects committed the murder in a kind of clue-like situation where you're running around the Abbey to pick up clues and, you know, figure things out. And again, in a Euro kind of status, because each of the different suspects and players in the game have special abilities and powers that you'll be able to utilize and, you know, as far as resources and symbology and things like that. So this Kickstarter is Mojito Studios, and they've previously created 4 games. So nothing that I've personally backed, but they did create revamp or recreate Cleopatra, which was another Days of Wonder game, which is also very good for what it was, which was a lightish kind of game, but that production was again all, you know, off the chart. So they must have a good relationship as far as getting these kind of licenses. So this game comes with the classic version that's basically in this version, it's been revamped, but the classic version comes along with it with the classic rules as far as kind of like an expansion that you could put into it. There's add-ons where you can get unique monk meeples. You can buy sleeves because you don't have sleeves. And again, you can get a signed copy from Bruno Fedutti, which is also very nice. The bell, there is no actual bell. There's a little bell icon, and there, which is really bumming me out, because that was, again, one of the iconic things about the game, ringing the bell when you knew what was going down. They're working on a bell app, which you can shake the phone, but
boo.
Look, this is what I'm saying. Not a fan. I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, not a fan. So the game itself, if you're going to buy the base level with just the basic stuff, it's $40 US. If you're going to buy the Kickstarter bundle, it's $51, which again comes with sleeves and unique monks. And then there's obviously, if you want to get the signed, it's going to cost a couple bucks more. It's another $5 if you want a signature. It's kind of funny because recently we talked about the Vitalis Serta game, right? And how his signature went from $10 to $12.
So stupid.
But you can get a Bruno Fattuti signature for only $5.
That's true.
Also very good, because he's kind of amazing. And they just surpassed their pledge goal just as we were talking. So pledge goal is 15,000. They're up 15,500. So the campaign will back. And you have until Tuesday, July 18th, 2023, if you would like to back Mystery of the Abbey.
I think I might back this. The price is not crazy.
Nope.
It's $40 is probably all I'll back for. Like, I don't need the fancy meeples.
How about the signature?
I liked this game. It didn't blow my mind, but I remember just having a good positive experience with people I didn't know, right? Yeah. And that makes it even better. When I play with people I don't know and I like a game, I'm like, well, that must be a really good game.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm not knocking the artwork. It's just very different. It is Nayade. So it's the designer, you know, the artwork behind like Takedo and Takenoko. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it only is barely beating its goal so far. I guess they didn't really do much marketing. I didn't hear about it before they launched it. So hopefully it goes higher, because when these things barely pass, I worry about their viability. I feel like it hurts the company a little bit. But yeah, I might back this. I might do it.
Nice. My job is done here.
You've done it, sir.
Yes, I win. All right. So that's everything that's happening that we want to get to the table. But Anthony, this week is not about games at the table. This week is about games at Origins. So let's get on to our feature review. Our feature review this week is Origins Game Fair 2023, The Hotness, and obviously The Awards. So it's not the Met Gala, but it's kind of fancy and artistic and creative and stuff. So things happen. Let's talk about the Origins Game Fair, Anthony. Give me your impression of that.
Yeah. I mean, you say it's not the Met Gala, but it's the only award show I've ever attended. So
we attended from the press row, not just
attending. We did. We got a row of chairs behind the tables with no tables. So I was like balancing my iPad in my lap to tweet about it. It was great.
And film it. Yeah. I like the fact that we were like a substantial distance from the tables where the people were sitting at. And I was just like, what are you worried about? Are you worried about the press rushing the stage? Like, they literally had a barrier up between the press and the people at the tables. I don't know. That was a funny thing. That was funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of, in Origins, I feel like there's a lot of them pretending to be things that they're not. Which I don't know what they are, though. It's a thing. So I can't even tell them what they should do differently. Like, this year, one of the big storylines, if you go to Reddit, if you go to Board Game Geek, it's people who paid for the VIG access complaining about how the VIG access was terrible, right?
Very important gamers.
Very important gamers, thank you. And this is something Gen Con has done for decades, right? They've offered this VIG access, and that includes early access to hotels, early access to events. You get a special lounge, you get like a basket of things. For a while there, you got early access. I don't think Gen Con does that anymore. And so Origins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Origins did do that part.
Yes.
All the other stuff was like meh. So like the swag bag was just a bunch of like Origins branded junk, which some people were excited about and some people weren't.
Yeah.
No games. And like the lounge was basically a few tables and some chairs. It wasn't anything fancy. I don't know. I've never done VIG for anything, so I don't know what's good or bad. I just know that the people who did it, who paid the extra $250, whatever it was, we're not super pleased about it. So it's just, and you know, we've gotten a similar vibe in the past, like dealing with MS Press. We weren't there this year, so this is not based on 2023 or 2022 or 2021 or 2020. We haven't been to Origin since 2018.
Ooh.
But it was always very much like, this would be helpful for us. And they're like, yes, we hear you. We're not going to do that. But we've done this other thing that's not at all helpful, but maybe. And, you know, it's... And this year in particular, I know they charged money for access to the press if you were not a Gamma member.
Yeah.
Which definitely rubbed us the wrong way. We weren't going to go anyways, but definitely rubbed us the wrong way. So it is what it is. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff going on here. They just don't really seem to know what they're doing. They're just trying different things, throwing it at the wall, and nobody's really happy with it. So the people who love Origins still love Origins. The people who are not super excited about it are less excited about it.
I think for all of these conventions, just all of these conventions, if you live local, that's your favorite convention. And I appreciate that, because why wouldn't it be, right? The idea of a like, if we lived in, you know, Columbus, Ohio, this would just be like the bee's knees, right? We would just be like, are you kidding? 5 days of board gaming in our backyard? That would be amazing. Beyond that, I think Gamma, who the Trade Federation for... you know, Origins, as far as like what they're trying to do, they want more participation, and obviously they want and or need more money. And I think you can get both of those in other ways than charging more for things you did not charge for in the past, and lessening bonuses and benefits for special groups and people like the VIGs, because again, we're a very small select community of gamers who have a wonderful, healthy, quote unquote, healthy obsession for board games. So there's nobody who feels more that way than the VIGs and, you know, the media people. So I think we could bring more passion and people to the conventions if there was a more open access and lush product available, because again, the VIG thing should be like sought after, right? Because Gamma is like an amazing organization of amazing people. It just does not come across that way in their presentation. And I'm not really sure why, because this should be the biggest convention. So yeah, if you can get early access with the VIGs for Thursday, that's kind of okay. But we've been there many years, and they're officially there on Wednesday, and they always count that as one of the days, but that's really a publisher day to set up. And again, I appreciate that, because I've been there trying to set up giant conventions, and there is an incredible amount of work, but there needs to be something more, you know, something more than there currently is. And I understand and appreciate there's only so much bandwidth, but there could be, because again, I think you have the right people there. Gamma's the right people, the VIG is the right people, the media, right? I mean, people who come to the convention, they're the right people. And I just don't think, in our experience, and the reason why we stopped going is because the cost benefit, you know, analysis here is just we weren't getting enough back for what we were putting in.
Yeah, and like honestly, I used to live in Pittsburgh, which was a 2-hour drive from Origins, so that's an easy sell for me. It was close. It was very frequently on the weekend around my birthday. So there was a lot of reasons where I could be like, I'm going to go, it'll be fun. But like, as a professional organization, when it's not on that weekend and I'm now 5 hours further away and I have to fly in, I'm like, well, what are the actual benefits here? And we have struggled a little bit to see what they are. Like, there's not a lot of ton new game releases.
That's it. Yeah.
Like, I saw a couple posts today as I was prepping for this episode where people just like, it just felt empty. And I'm like, yeah, that resonates with me. Cause when I've been there before, it has felt empty.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not empty. There's stuff there. They have they're using the space. There's gaming space. It just doesn't feel lively. Like, there's not that energy you have. Even at like a PAX, which is a similar size, you just don't have that vibrancy. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the difference is, but other people have voiced the same thing that I feel there. It's fun. Board game conventions are always fun, whatever size they are. But if you're looking for a destination event, this is, I don't know that it really is it. And I can't speak to this one. I feel like we're being very negative for an event we haven't been to in 5 years, but it's,
well, mostly that's COVID too. We have to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they didn't run it for a few years, but it's difficult to look at it from the outside now and be like, why would I want to go back? They just haven't sold us on it. So this is more a review of the marketing of the event and what we see from the outside.
I think them counting, I guess it's the Wednesday, because the one thing I noticed on TikTok when I was looking for content to see about how people felt about the convention was people were saying, this is day one. And then they would do the TikTok the next day and they'd be like, this is actually day one. So everybody was there for the first day of you know, Origins, and it really wasn't a day of anything because you can't get into the expo center. You can't get to the publishers and the tables.
There's nothing happening, is the same as any other convention. You can go to Gen Con on Wednesday. There's just nothing happening.
But why do you count that as one of the days of the convention?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, nobody else does. It's the same setup. It's just...
Well, to be fair, Gen Con does have a fabulous trade day.
It does. It does actually have a fifth day for those of you who are eligible to go. If you are eligible to go, you should go and come see us.
There you go. But yeah, I think for new people who have not been to a game convention or been to Origins before, when they say like the five best days of gaming, and that's their pitch, and then the first of the 5 days, because people are reserving hotels to get there for the first day, and there's nothing happening. And there's not... And again, I love Columbus. I mean, I'm surprised. I think it's a really good city, and the food's great, and a lot of good places to go and see. And it's very open and clean and all great stuff about Columbus. But there's no, I mean, you and I, again, we're talking several years ago, so please forgive us. Take it with a grain of salt. There wasn't anything else going on around the area like there is at Gen Con to keep you entertained or engaged. So you go there for the first day, and you go down to the convention center, you pick up your ticket, and you go, oh, cool, there's a big giant room. I can't get access to it on the first day of the convention. And then you keep saying it's the first big day. It's not. It's Thursday's the big day.
Yeah.
So it's not 5 days of gaming. It's 4 days of gaming.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, why is there not more new releases if Gamma is the publishers? So strong arm your own people and say you got to release something, because there's got to be a reason for people to come down and not just go to Gen Con, because money is tight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's always been like that. I think there was 1 year we were at Origins where we had any reason to line up early on Thursday. Any reason.
I don't even remember.
And it was the year Queenbra came out.
Oh, okay.
Because that launched at Origins, and they had Queenbra and they had the new version of Azul. And I really wanted both. So that was it. And we got them and it was fine.
Yeah.
That was it. Every other year, we're like, should I get up at 8 o'clock, or should I just roll out of bed at 9:30 and we get there when we get there? And it's usually just, we get there when we get there.
Yeah. So we do sincerely, and I mean, sincerely do hope that everyone had a fantastic time at Origins. This was just generally some of our problems and our issues over the last couple of years. And again, just like anything else, we want the convention to be better. We want more people at the table. And if there could be more done, I think that would be great. Again, I think, and I want to just mention this very ever so briefly, Anthony, because we just hit up a couple of board game stores in Philly not too long ago for your birthday. Mm-hmm. I still, again, just saying this out to the Gamma people, I think it's worth your time and money. And I know it's a lot of money, especially these days with corporate real estate and stuff like that. But I think you should have a board game presence. I think you should have a brick and mortar store that is Origins based, like as close to the convention center or at least somewhere in Columbus, to keep the convention going. Because the other thing about going to the convention is, you and I, Anthony, always go out to a lot of like the food places, and we journey around, we take a look at the site. Nobody knows Origins is happening. There's not. Mm-mm. So if you could build a board game community by having a dedicated board game store for your convention, even if it's only like, I don't know, 20 feet wide and 20 feet deep, like if you could just have a table set up somewhere and have Origin promotion stuff and have games out there, you know, pretty frequently, I think that would do a big difference of getting more people there. Because again, It is, on some level, depending on how you look at it and where you live, the four best days in gaming.
I don't know. 4 days. Sorry. It's not five, guys. Stop saying five.
Stop making five a thing. Five is not a thing.
It's not a thing. There are no five-day conventions. It's too long anyways. That's exhausting.
It's true.
All right. Let's go on to the games, because that's more fun. So there's a couple ways to do this, right? There's the Board Game Geek preview that went up of Origins. But that's not really indicative of what people were looking for.
Nope.
And so we've been digging around through, you know, our Patreon backers' posts on Facebook, on TikTok, on Twitter, and seeing what people are posting they actually played and they picked up. We also have the list of featured products that Origins has announced that was released at their show. And, you know, Chris, you've been saying this for years, and at first I was a little skeptical, and I feel like I'm a little more on board now, that Kickstarter has made these conventions less interesting.
Less significant. I mean, they're just... Yeah,
for sure, right? And like looking through this list, because Origins is like, these are games that are new to buy for the first time at a consumer show.
Yep.
And some of them it's just wrong, because I bought some of these games at PAX, so obviously that's a consumer show. But other ones, it's like, oh, I've had that game since January. Oh, that's right, it was Kickstarter, and it got shipped to me early.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of them. And so a lot of these games that are debuting at shows have been out for weeks, for months, sometimes for close to a year. And that's not to say it's not exciting for people who didn't back it and couldn't get it. But for those of us who did, or those who know that those things happened, it's a little less exciting. So this list is not, there's a lot of good games on this list, to be sure. So people who like were looking for these games probably were very excited. But there's also a lot of games on here that have been out for a while. So that's a struggle. It'll be the same at Gen Con. This is not an Origins thing. When we do our Gen Con hotness, it's going to be the same thing of like, yeah, they were all excited and everybody was tracking this game down. I've had it since February. You know, it is what it is. Like, it's how the hobby works now. So
yeah, it's not great at all, honestly, because again, from a convention standpoint, because the convention should be where all the news comes out, all the surprises come out, all the games come out and hit the table for the first time. Like, that creates excitement and buzz, and that gives you a reason to come to the conventions, because this is the first time anyone will see it, or come to the convention because this is the first time anyone will even talk about it. So like, we talk about the Fantasy Flight, like the flight report. You just go to Gen Con just for the flight report, just to see what Star Wars stuff they're going to have out there, see what's in their booth, right? The fact that things are on Kickstarter, you know, and you see everything a year, 2 years in advance, and it gets shipped to you to your house. So why are you going to the convention to buy something that you've already known about for 1 to 2 years and you probably could get for a cheaper price, and also now you have to ship it back and forth? So like, it's hard on a lot of levels is what I'm saying.
It is. Yeah. And again, there's nothing more exciting in the world than going to a convention, finding a game you've never heard of before.
Oh, yeah.
That's brand new, and you play it, and you're like, this is amazing, and you buy it, and you know you're one of the first people in the world to have it. And that's still the case. So we're not trying to poo-poo on that necessarily.
Nope.
It's just there's...
They had a really great moment with Terraforming Mars as I ran out
of,
out of the convention with two copies, and like, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, and it happens, and it's awesome. When I got my copy of Root, it was at a convention after it shipped to backers, and I was super excited about it. So it's still a thing. It's just less of a thing. And so we're just kind of pointing that out. Mm-hmm. So just some of the highlights, some of the games that were available that they were talking about. 25th Century Games had Raw, the new edition of Raw, which just shipped recently. I got my copy in maybe a month or two ago from the GameFound campaign. Beautiful, beautiful copy of Raw. Reiner Knizia's Raw.
Yeah.
And then Resist as well, which was another GameFound campaign from earlier. We talked about Witchcraft, which is kind of a revamp of Resist.
Yes.
This solo-only game. Super happy these are available for everybody to pick up now, because they're super niche, and I'm glad that they made additional copies, because that's not always the case.
Yeah, and again, this is again, we were talking about the challenges of it, but this is one of the benefits of the convention is that you get to see these things at the convention.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually see it physically before you spend the money on it, which mm-hmm. is great. Capstone Games, always active, always at all these conventions. They're in Ohio. I think they're in Cincinnati, so this is close to them. Mm-hmm. They have their new game, Wandering Towers, from Kramer and Kiesling, which is any game from Kramer and Kiesling, you know it's going to be good. The Beer and Bread, again, they have that at PAX. I have a copy from PAX, so I know it's not new, but... It is amazing. We both gave it a buy, so you should check it out either way.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. No.
And then Joan of Arc and Orleans Draw and Write, I'm pretty sure is new for Origins. They had demo copies at PAX you could play.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good stuff from Capstone, as usual. Lots of other good stuff. Grand Gamers Guild had the Artemis Odyssey. So the Artemis Project was kind of a sleeper hit there for a few years. It's one I picked up. I really enjoyed. Played it for a bit. Artemis Odyssey is a new spin on that same formula. It's up on the hotness as well. I had 102 thumbs. so it's going out into space. It's another, like, it's not a 4X game, but it's like a simultaneous action exploration type of game. So mm-hmm. you've got exploration and management and building. There's not as much of the attacking,
right? Sure. It's
almost pure Euro. So that was a big one. A lot of people pointed that one out as being available for the first time. Hatchet Board Games launched Tribes of the Wind, which previously I believe had been at UK Games Expo. So I saw several posts in the past about reviews out of the UK. They also had Valbara and In the Footsteps of Darwin. So Hatchet in general has several different imprints that they're bringing to the US.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good games.
Yeah.
So
exciting.
A company to keep an eye on that we hadn't heard of a couple years ago. So worth checking out. Other games on here, we had Paverson Games had Distilled available at retail for the first time. This was another Kickstarter.
Yep. I like that game a lot. That was a lot of fun. It was surprising. And the cost was fairly reasonable too. So. If you haven't checked it out, you should, and maybe even pick it up.
Yeah, it is actually one I picked up after your review.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that sounds like a fun Euro, and I also like whiskey, so
there you go. Those.
I'll check it out. like minimal amounts, but it's good stuff. So I'm going to check that one out as well. I'll talk to y'all about what I think about it in the future.
Uh-oh.
Queen Games had their trio from the first batch of Feld releases. These were also available at PAX, but in very limited quantities.
And the base versions, too.
Right, yeah, you could get the fancy stuff. So they had Hamburg, Amsterdam, and Marrakesh all available at Origins.
Mm-hmm.
They were also previewing New York, so from the second batch, which, Chris, you've already paid for, correct?
I did. I did a thing.
I'm
not going to talk about it anymore.
Are you happy about the thing? I don't know.
I'm conflicted. It's hard. I'm seeing somebody about it. We'll see. We'll see how it comes out.
Oh, sorry, man. And you know, honestly, looking through the list of stuff that launched there, that's kind of those are the highlights, right? There's a bunch of games you could get there. If you go through the Board Game Geek hotness, the preview list, mm-hmm. you know. Earth was really hot. That was available there from Inside Up Games. That's been out for a little while now, both in retail and for backers. Grand Gamers Guild, they pushed Ahau, Rulers of the Yucatan. They have that kind of pushed up on the hotness. Isafarian Guard from Sky Kingdom Games.
Sure.
One of those big, like $200 sprawling miniature type of 1-2 player games.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't fathom, but I know the people who love it probably love it. So that makes sense. That was up there.
Sure.
Touring Machine has been one of those games that's been really hard to find. So if you can find a copy of Touring Machine, grab it. When they have it at conventions, it sells out really fast. They did have it at PAX. It sold out in like day two. I got it later just on a lucky drop on Amazon. So they had that as well. Previews of games, though, there was a bunch of stuff that was previewed that was not available to buy, but was available to try, as I said. So we had the Lost Ruins of Arnak Missing Expedition from Czech Games Edition. I know we're both excited about that, right?
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Kutna Hora, the City of Silver, which talked about last week as this game looks amazing, but the name is terrible.
The box cover is terrible too.
Yeah. I mean, both of those are terrible. What are you doing?
Between the name and the box, you would pass this by 1,000 times and not even know there's a pretty awesome game on the inside. So kind of feel bad about that, but hopefully the fact that we're promoting it, hopefully people take a look at it, because this looks like it could be fun. I have not played it, but I'm really excited to play it.
It is on my short list for Gen Con to check out.
Same.
So, we also had from Mind Clash, they were previewing the episode 3 of Perseverance. So I still don't understand what episode 1 and 2 are, but
I don't understand. It's like Lost, right? The TV show. Yeah. Back in the day. It's like, I don't know what's going on here.
What is this? I don't get it. And just to be fair, we're leaning into this a little bit, because I know some people reached out and like, it's not that complicated. The games are great. And this is why. And I'm like, sure, maybe. We haven't played them, but also I still don't get it.
Kickstarter was muddled at best.
Muddled at best is the best way to describe that.
We're going to get kidnapped at Gen Con by like Mind Clash, and they'll be like, you will sit and play this game and understand it. Like, I can't understand. It's been 3 days, man.
I just want to do other things.
These are not the best 3 days in gaming, I'm telling you.
Thunderworks Games had Dawn of Ulos.
Oh.
Yeah, so Thunderworks always does good stuff. Their games have frequently been built around the role player universe. Mm-hmm. Dawn of Ulos looks to be kind of in that same, at least the same artwork setting. It looks good. I mean, they generally release good stuff, so I'm looking forward to this one as well.
Yeah, it looks like a new take on role player, at least from the artwork and the character cards.
Yeah, like they definitely know how to make things look good, which is nice.
Yeah,
I'm like, even Cape May, which was a very different game for them from a different designer, nothing to do with role player or any of that stuff, it looked good. It was very pretty. I was very tempted by it.
Yeah, this is like between role player, maybe Ethnos, or it's got vibes. We'll have to check it out.
Yes. Yeah, we should just start using that. What's the vibe check on this game? It's pretty good. Digging the vibe check. The next game from Paverson Games, which I guess they have available for demo. We don't know a ton about it outside of what they've been showing recently, is Luthier.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a game about building musical instruments for patrons.
Mm-hmm.
I love this idea. So we're going back to like classical Renaissance era Europe, and you are hired to build the instruments that will be used by people like Bach and Mozart and Beethoven. Such a cool idea. So you're not making the music, you're making the instruments that they're going to use to make the music. It's a worker placement bidding type of game.
Mm-hmm.
Vincent Dutra is on board for the artwork. It's coming out next year.
Very nice.
And it's from the people who published Distilled. So looks good.
Yeah, excited.
Yeah, so that's kind of a highlights. There was certainly plenty of other games there. One of the benefits of being at a convention, which again, we were not there, but one of the benefits of being at a convention is sometimes you find hidden gems that are not on these lists that people don't post about very often that you get to talk about that nobody else is talking about.
Yeah.
100% look forward to that from Gen Con. We love doing that stuff. We love like digging into like, especially the indie booths and finding stuff that people aren't digging into.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there was a lot of that. So it's not to say that those games, if we didn't talk about them, aren't good. We just personally didn't get a chance to see them.
Gotcha.
All right. So the last wing of this is we have Origins Game Awards, or the Origins Awards, I guess they call them. They do this every year. They change it every year. We make fun of it every year. We made fun of it 2 months ago.
they've made it less fun by not being as much fun as they used to be in past years. They've actually gotten a lot more, I don't know, I want to say competent, but just like obvious, maybe is probably a better word.
Yeah, it's, so the thing is, they assess games that get submitted to them. So some publishers don't submit games to them. So then some things win awards and you're like, huh, I mean, that's a good game. It's a good game, but why did it win the award? Like, so there's a few of those this year, but there's nothing that's like so far outside of the actual categories that it makes no sense, which we've had in mm-hmm. the past. So let me start from the bottom, because the thing starts with Game of the Year, which I don't think is helpful for us.
But is it Game of the Year?
It's well,
retail
game retail of the year, Game of the Year,
which is also a little sus. But we'll just
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
I don't know. I wish they would explain these categories. If they would have done that years ago, it'd have been a lot less fun. But that is also a weird. I mean, did it sell the most copies? Is that a thing?
Maybe, but how? Because when?
This is very hard to, because again, Gamma, who's running these awards, again, I don't know if it's a separate body or committee that's blinded and they don't know what they know or they do know, but it's like giving each other awards. So maybe they need to like not make it Game of the Year anymore, because it would just, maybe they need a certain metric that's not like, we like this game better than everyone else and everyone else is still in the room making that vote. Just like, this is a little awkward.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's tricky. I don't really know. So I guess we'll just start there, because we've been talking about it for now for two minutes.
I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to ruin the big the ending.
I don't know that it's much of a reveal. Retail Game of the Year is Boop by Smirk and Laughter Games.
What'd you say?
What game? Boop.
Boop.
Boop. Boop.
That's a game?
Yeah, so it's cats knocking each other off a bed. It's Boop.
Done.
Yeah, lowercase, it's a cute game.
Lowercase b, by the way.
Lowercase b, and it ends in a period. So get it right. So we had a chance to check this out at PAX. It was cute. It was light. It was successful. It was very popular. Kurt, you know, we know Kurt very well from Smirk and Laughter, Smirk and Dagger. Mm-hmm. Was very excited about the reception. But there's a lot of games came out this year. So I just like, what is the retail game of the year? What does it mean? Like, it's a good game. I have no problem with it winning an award. I'm happy for them. But what does this mean? I don't get it.
I just don't understand why Boop has a lowercase to start with and then a period at the end. So that's my quandary at this moment. So
okay. So design issues. We have design issues.
I don't know if it's design issues. It's naming issues. And again,
sure.
It's like when they name the game. Why would you name the game? That's in that realm. We're gonna have to do a top 10 at some point. So games that are oddly named, Boop, I think, is gonna be added to that, because it's got a period at the end.
That is true. The thing too is, like, I feel like when we did our finalists list, the nominees, there wasn't a game of the year listed.
Uh-huh.
So this was like voted on separately from the nominees.
I think so.
And then, so, like, what is the criteria for this? How did it win the award? I don't understand. All right, moving on to the other stuff, because Boop is great, by the way. We're not making fun of Boop. No. Boop is a good game. Yeah, so check out Kaboop. It's very cute. Your kids will like it. It's cats knocking each other off a bed. It's cute.
And they're going to have a Halloween version of it, which is going to be even cuter.
That will be very cute, yeah. So, Origin's fan favorite was Flamecraft, mm-hmm. because part of the Origins Awards is you can go play the game and you can vote for what you like. So everybody else agreed Flamecraft was the game of the year. Flamecraft has won a lot of these types of awards, mm-hmm. so makes sense.
It's pretty and cute.
Yeah, little dragons selling stuff to each other. Super cute.
Super cute.
Social light strategy game. This is one of the categories, was Creature Comforts from Kids Table Board Games, KTBG. We got a chance to demo this at PAX. It's cute. It is definitely light. It is a kid game. So there you go.
It's like the direct competitor to like Flamecraft.
Yeah, it is super in that ballpark. Yeah, for sure. The strategy game winner.
Ooh.
And just a quick reminder of like what was nominated. It was Evergreen, Foundations of Rome, Hoplomachus, Planet Unknown, and Three Sisters. So they say strategy. These are like light, medium weight games at best. Mm-hmm. They're not heavy games.
No.
The winner was Planet Unknown, though, which is probably the heaviest of the bunch from Adam's Apple. And I'm cool with that because Adam's Apple makes good stuff.
Okay. I've not played it. They made... But I think it's a more of a... It's a particular take on a game. I don't even know if, I like you said, as far as heavy version of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not heavy. No. It's just heavier than the other ones. Sure.
In comparison, sure.
Yeah. Thematic board game. We had nominees were Dead Reckoning, Merchants of the Dark Road, My Father's Work, Tokyo Sidekick, and Wonderland's War. And the winner was Dead Reckoning. Mm-hmm. So, Pirates.
For some reason, still.
John D. Clare's slidey card pirate game.
Yay!
So, Mystic Veil on the High Seas. It's just fine. Yeah, we haven't played this one either, but
no.
It was a Kickstarter. A lot of people were very happy with it.
I just don't know. I don't know why pirates are still a thing, but I'll go with it.
One Piece, man.
All right, One Piece.
Keeping them alive.
All right, I give it to you. I give it to you. I respect.
Yep. Card games. So the nominee is Cat in the Box, uh-huh. Scout, Sea Salt and Pepper, Touring Machine, not a game. Undaunted Stalin. Love it, by the way, but not a game. Undaunted Stalingrad. So I think we thought it would be Undaunted because people dig their Undaunted, but it was Scout.
Okay. I mean, I have not played it, but throughout the year I've heard a lot of people enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it did not win the Spiel Award, but it was nominated, right?
Sure.
Yep. Children's games. We have Honk from Sinister Fish Games. So other nominees being Castle Panic 2nd Edition, which we thought was silly. Disney, A Goofy Game from Funko Games, also silly. The Lunchroom Game and Turtle Splash. So this was like kind of a, not an oddball inclusion, but Sinister Fish Games, they released Villagers and Streets. So they've done the Garter games. And then they had Honk, which is like a really cute looking goose game. Mm-hmm. So we might have picked this because it was cool looking. all right, so those are the board games. The other stuff, not as much in our wheelhouse. We'll kind of rapid fire through these. We have collectible games. The winner was Magic the Gathering Universes Beyond, Warhammer 40K Commander Decks. Eh?
All right.
Eh?
Eh?
I feel like next year is just automatically going to be The Lord of the Rings, right? Tales of Middle Earth, Magic the Gathering.
I think it's going to win all the categories next year. And
all of them.
All of them. Because the One Ring to rule them all. Like all of them. Just
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going to think they're clever and people are going to be like, what's wrong with you? game accessories. Deluxe board game train sets by Little Plastic Train Company. Yes.
Sure.
Train sets.
Yeah.
Graphic design. Pathfinder Savage Worlds box set by Pinnacle Entertainment Group.
Mm-hmm.
Great game review. We talked about game reviews last time. It's kind of an interesting addition, probably because they added media to the board. Board Game Quest, kind of one of the go-tos for board game reviews, their mind management review, which I read, and it was fine.
Is it the greatest?
Is it the greatest? I don't know, but it was fine.
Okay.
I mean, that was an interesting one because we had three outlets with five nominations, and the one outlet with only one nomination won the award. So interesting. Miniatures games. Lion Rampant 2nd Edition from Osprey Games. Mm-hmm. Osprey Games does a lot of really good miniature stuff, tabletop stuff that nobody really hears about, so glad they got some recognition for that. RPG Core Rules Coyote and Crow from Coyote and Crow, a nice indie release there. RPG supplement Agents of Dune by Modiphius, which does a lot of good licensed stuff. 2D art Cowboys with Big Hearts by Bully Pulpit Games, and 3D art Super Mutant Swan by Modiphius Entertainment. So, not trying to rush over these, but the visual stuff is hard to kind of present in a podcast. We don't want to like describe art to you.
No, but also we wanted to include all of these, even if we don't generally cover these, because congratulations, because you did an awesome thing and you deserve to get the congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats to all the winners.
Though. Absolutely. Yeah. No, and again, another, it's always a daunting situation putting out an awards because we do it each and every year, and it's not the easiest of things. And obviously, we would like to have a little more inside information about like how these things come about. But nonetheless, a great collection of games, no question about it. A great collection of art and accessories along with the games. Fantastic. And always a good time as far as like just having fun with the games that you get to the table. So anytime you can take games to the next level, excellent. Give them an award. Love it. And again, maybe we'll see you there next year. I don't know. Could happen.
Could. Who knows? Maybe we're speaking at Origins. Who knows?
Who knows?
And we will know then that they have not listened to any of our podcasts.
<That's> right. We love you all very much. That's just clip that and send
that. Yeah. Just listen to minute 58 of episode 430. Nothing else.
Wow. Those guys love us. Just like show them the podcast on your phone and be like, hold on a second. Let me drag this. Keep going. Like, I thought this whole episode was about Origins. It is, but I want you to hear something first. Just like you're about to hit the end of the episode. I know, but it's very important. We love you very much. Yay! That's all you need to know. That encapsulates our Origins experience. But yes, again, we sincerely, again, hope that everyone had a fantastic time at Origins Game Fair. If there's been some great, amazing games that you were able to get to the table that we did not talk about, please hit us up on our Patreon account, on our Discord, on Facebook, on Twitter, all of the website stuff. Or anywhere that you find Chris and Anthony out on the street and be like, hey, there was a thing. We did it. And again, if you see Mind Clash chasing us down at Gen Con, you now know why. So,
yep.
Anyhow, we will persevere or perseverance. I don't know which of them, but we will do something.
Yes. 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 Bring us water. It's a long game.
All right. Until next Origins Game Fair, this is Chris.
Yeah, this is Anthony.
And we'll save you all a seat at the Origins Game Fair 2024. Take care, everybody.
Later.
See ya.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.